I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yeah. Back to back.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. hashtag in your mom's hashtag. Yep, hashtag going down. Right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. I want to give a shout out to my homeboy, Grip Bellamy. I got the shirt on for those who get to see the video. I got my God's first shirt on. Come on, represent my dog, Grip Bellamy brand. You heard me. Really going down in the South. My dog in Atlanta, he started his own clothing line. And I want to support my homeboy. So I like, man, let me put my shirt. Let me put my nice God's first shirt on for my dog, Grip Bellamy. Man, he on Instagram at God's First or G1. Something like that. Just Google God's First. I know I'm fucking this up. I'm supposed to know his social media handle, but damn it, I don't. But I know it's God's First Clothing or G1 Clothing. Go check my Instagram. Google it. Get you a God's First shirt. Get you a mask. Get you a jumpsuit, a hat, and everything they got. So make sure you check out my homeboy. I just wanted to plug that real quick. Why? Because I could do that because it's my podcast. You heard me? So thank you all for tuning in once again to another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. Thank you to all my longtime listeners and watchers, to all my new listeners and watchers. Welcome to this excellence, which is this Fix Sports Podcast. Once again, I am Joseph Ward. I will be bringing you the latest sports stories from the latest week that stood out to me, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the information and give you my take on. We got to talk these sports the right way. I like talking sports. I got tired of yelling at the computer, got tired of yelling at the TV and yelling at my phone, so I decided to yell at you all, and you all can yell back at me. You heard me? Remember, the website, once again, www.freedomtrainradio.com, where you can learn everything about the Freedom Train Network and the Fix Sports Podcast. You heard me? Remember that the Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. They specialize in the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. They go do their research to find these stories and put them in specific mediums, such as the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. The On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG. The On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face or virtual classes, educational sessions, keynote speaking sessions, graduation speeches, whatever you need, anything about Black history or the history of the African diaspora, make sure you hit up On the Shoulders of Giants because they have you, and you can access it on your smartphone, smart board, smart TV, computer, tablet, anything, all these mediums. Once again, website is www.ontheshoulders1.com. You heard me? So it's time to get it in on this episode right here of the Fix Sports Podcast. You heard me? So what are we talking about today, Willie? What are we talking about? All right. HBCU, Spotlight is back. We have Spotlight. I'm happy about that. I'm happy we got that HBCU Spotlight, Dashaw, because I missed that Spotlight. The HBCU News Go, Dashaw. But I missed that Spotlight. So, in the HBCU Spotlight, we are highlighting the HBCU track and field all academic program. So, the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association is awarding individuals for their academic achievements. You hear me? So these players balling on and off the track. So HBCU news. First part is 19 players on the FAMU Rattler football team test positive for COVID. And then the second part is multiple North Carolina A&T student athletes or athletes test positive for the corona. So, also, speaking of coronas, moving forward, a number of NBA players actually test positive for the coronas this past week. So we're going to talk about those players and get a little update on NBA players who got the coronas and see how that's going to affect start on the 30th. The Washington Losers, formerly the Washington Busters, the Washington Mustard Pants, the NFC East team, the worst team in the NFC East, formerly known as the Washington Racial Slurs, has officially announced that they're changing their name. What do they know? What will the new name be? We don't know yet. I suggest the Washington Losers, the Washington Marks, the Washington Busters, but we'll get more into that as we get into this story, but that will be something that we're going to cover. And as a Cowboys fan, I am pointing and laughing. So, the homie, one of the sports reporters, Adrian Wojnarowski, was suspended by ESPN for an email that he sent to somebody. And a lot of people was like, man, fuck that shit, man. Free Woj, man. Free Woj. So, we're going to talk about the Free Woj movement. See if we want to get down with that. The NBA got a COVID snitch line. And Dwight Howard has already been pinpointed or snitched on through the snitch line. So we're going to talk about the NBA COVID snitch line that they got down there in that bubble. Our weekly rant warm-up is a 12-year-old was arrested for sending a racial message to Crystal Palace's Wilfred Zaha, which is a soccer player over in somewhere in Europe, I think. Oh, yeah. Soihul, England. Soihul, England. I probably butchered that name. Now, weekly rant is going right back at that Washington franchise. The male members, Daniel Snyder and everybody, not Ron Rivera because he knew, but all the people who've been there when because it's reported that they have a culture of sexual violence amongst their culture of losing. So, as a Cowboy fan, I'm going to lean in on these Washington losers. You heard me? So that's what we're talking about today on the Fix Sports Podcast. Man, I'm so excited. I just can't fight it because it's time for that. Hey. Earlier, the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association awarded individuals and teams with its all-academic awards. Yeah, man. Here's a look at the HBCU Track and Field teams that achieved the honor of having a team grade point average of 3.0 or higher. These student athletes worked hard to finish out a semester where sports were canceled and classroom learning switched to virtual environments. Computer love. All right, so the Division I women women's program, HBCU, Alabama State University, with a combined GPA of 3.369. You heard me one time for the 6.9. Bethune-Cookman University with a combined GPA of 3.09. FAMU came in third with a combined GPA of 3.72. Howard University came in fourth with a combined GPA of 3.08. Morgan State with a combined GPA of 3.252. Norfolk State with a combined GPA of 3.19. So that's Division I women. Division I men is Alabama State University with a 3.19. 1-4 for the men. So one time for Alabama State coming in first for men's and women's. Bethune-Cookman University coming in second for men's and women's with 3.02, but Morgan State coming in third in Division I men with 3.004. Come on, fam. You, how you going to let Morgan State beat you on the men's side? So Division II men and Lincoln University with 3.09, Lincoln University 3.03, Livingstone University 3.03, St. Augustine University 3.12, GPA in Virginia Union with 3.06. Division II women is John C. Smith University with 3.136, Lincoln University in Missouri with 3.55, Lincoln University in Pennsylvania with 3.22, Livingstone University with 3.28, St. Augustine University 3.34, Shaw University 3.12, and Virginia Union rounding it off with 3.56. Division II women. So these are the academic all academic awardees. These are the schools whose students' combined GPAs allowed them to be ranked as the top academic awarded schools, athletic schools for student athletes. Because, I mean, they in that classroom and they doing their work and they turning in their homework. And they creating cheating circles. No, I'm just playing. They creating cheating circles. But one time for everybody who put the work in to make sure they get them marks. They got them good marks. Put y'all hands together for all the students who got them good marks. It's cool. Had to get them 3-point something. You hear me? We get them 3-point something. You hear me? You know what I'm saying? You understand me? Let me stop talking like that. Man, I like that. It's fun. But one time for all the students, they didn't give individual names of students. But one time for all the universities for the academic All-American winners for the HBCU track and field programs. You hear me? All right. HBCU news. Amen. So before we get to our HBCU news, man, you know, we got to do this thing off right. We got to do it right, man. We got to do it right. So grab your partner, get on the dance floor, fill it in your phone. Oh, when you listen to this, take your shirts off. Oh! Put your bra to the side. Hey, put your bra to the side. Just gonna look something like that for that HBCU spotlight for our academic All-American winners at the HBCU schools going out there and getting them marks and doing their work and creating them groups and getting together and studying and presenting their work and going to class and making it happen and making it happen and making it happen. And for them academic All-Americans in the HBCU spotlight. Yeah. All right, now, time for that HBCU news, you heard me? So, FAMU, I guess 19 players are confirmed positive from the FAMU football team. Well, how that happened, Willie? So, Time has come for student athletes to return back for the fall semester, with the return athletes underwent testing following the arrival protocol. Now, that is interesting. I'm not sure if that was before or after the MEAC canceled fall sports. But we do know that there's no FAMU football this year. There's no MEAC football. Everybody who's a part of the MEAC, they are not playing any fall sports, so FAMU ain't playing football, even though players have tested positive for that wrong. Right. According to FAMU Athletic Director Courtney Goshen, 9 out of 65 student athletes tested positive for COVID-19. I said 19 players. Excuse me. 19 players didn't test positive. Players tested positive for the COVID-19. I took that damn 19 and ran with it. My bad. My fault. Don't mean to put out false information. You heard me? So the one test that was not conducted on campus was taken prior to the student athlete's return to campus date. That student athlete remained at home and did not return to campus, Gosher told the Tallahassee Democrat. The health and safety of our student athletes remain our number one priority, Gosher continued. We are monitoring our results and will make informed decisions to protect each student athlete and our campus community. We have been in constant communication with all of our student athletes. Through this process, we will continue to work with our campus officials to follow our campus plan and protocols as we reopen, which we know fall sports ain't happening, to reiterate that. All 9 student athletes have been placed on quarantine for the time being. 2 athletes live in one campus, live in on campus living, but officials explained that transmission of COVID-19 was not the FAMU on campus. Okay. The other 7 will remain off campus during the quarantine. So, man, my prayers go out to these 9 players. I hope you all have full recovery, don't have any complications from the COVID, and come out healthy. You heard me? But we gotta get our mind right. We gotta wait 2021 to see some football. So multiple student athletes and further HBCU news, rather, let me get my transition. And further HBCU news, multiple student athletes at North Carolina A&T test positive for that Rona 19, you heard me? So North Carolina A&T student athletes are reporting 4 positive coronavirus cases among student athletes since their return on campus on July 6th. All 4 student athletes are asymptomatic. If the student athletes have university housing and have tested positive, they are being isolated in a designated area on campus. Their meals are being delivered. Football student athletes returned on July 5th, a source told HBCU Game Day last week that 1 football player had tested positive for the COVID-19. This is a tweet by a guy named Stephen Gaither. It says, sources tell me that North Carolina A&T football player has tested positive for that Rona 19. Waiting on confirmation, football student athletes returned to school on July 15th. North Carolina A&T student athletes who are living on campus live in groups of 8 to 10 people. They are also conducting workouts in groups of 8 to 10. Each workout is pre-scheduled. Temperature and symptom screenings are being conducted daily, so it's my job. Now I'm just playing. Masks are mandatory in public when student athletes are not working out. All staff working with student athletes are mandated to wear masks. Sanitizer masks are made available. If anyone lacks those items, a full look at A&T's athletics prevention methods can be found here. So, a little news, man. So players on fan, you got that Rona 19. Players on A&T got that Rona 19. So. Thoughts, prayers, and good energy go out to all the players, all these athletes, everybody who got the Rona 19. Wishing full recoveries for everybody who got the Rona 19, because Rona is real and it ain't playing. And for those of you who out there who don't get it, for all you Floridians, since I'm in Florida, all you Floridians who don't get it, y'all stupid as hell. Y'all stupid as hell. Ain't no party, no beach, no bar, no celebrations, or nothing like that. So important that we got to get the Rona. No, none of the dumbass anti-mask protests. Y'all need to stop that stupid shit. And we need to be safe. We could have had Rona under better control if, goddamn, the human element wasn't so damn stupid. And that ain't to these players, though. But that's to people out there being stupid with that Rona. So that is my HBCU news. So moving on, like I mentioned in my rundown, in the opening, that a number of NBA players have tested positive for that Rona 19. From the sources, those names include Russell Westbrook, Nikola Jokic, Eric Bledsoe, some of the names that they reported. So the NBA season ground to an abrupt halt on March 11th when Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert tested positive for that Rona 19. Since then, opinions on whether or not the season would ever finish have been mixed. Even now, as the NBA has migrated to Disney World, there is no guarantee that it will happen. The virus has shown few signs of slowing down, and cases are actually surging in Florida. Right? Health and safety concerns regarding the pandemic combined with the growing social justice movement and questions about the quarantine situation have raised plenty of questions about whether the NBA will be able to pull this off. And beyond that, whether it's even ethical for them to try. For now, at least, the answer seems to be that they are foregoing ahead. In late June, players returned to team facilities for workouts and teams started testing for COVID-19. That process has already turned up dozens of positive tests, including Russell Westbrook, Nikola Jokic, DeAndre Jordan, Malcolm Brogdon, Harrison Barnes, and a number of other players, Eric Bledsoe included. As this process continues to unfold, there will likely be even more NBA players and team members who test positive for the Corona 19. Because it is unfortunately extremely contagious. Below is a list of players and figures from around the league who have confirmed to be infected with COVID-19. So you got Eric Bledsoe reported on, and Bledsoe with the Milwaukee Bucks, that's reported on July 16th. James Ennis for the Orlando Magic, that's reported on July 15th. Harrison Barnes, that's July 14th. Russell Westbrook, July 13th. Gary Payton Jr., July 9th. Thomas Bryant, July 9th. Tyrone Prince on July 7th. Larry Shamet on July 4th. There are three unnamed Miami Heat players on July 3rd and 4th. Three unnamed players from the Pelicans on June 30th. DeAndre Jordan, like I mentioned earlier, on June 29th. Spencer Dinwiddie on June 29th. Derek Jones Jr. on June 29th. Alex Lean on June 24th. Buddy Hield on June 24th, Jabari Parker on June 24th, Malcolm Brogdon on June 24th, Jokic on June 23rd, two unnamed Phoenix Suns players on June 23rd, four unnamed Western Conference players from the Western Conference on June 23rd, Michael Malone on June 15th, James Dolan, the Knicks on March 28th, two unnamed Lakers players on March 29th, Marcus Smart of the Celtics on March 29th, three unnamed members of the 76ers on March 19th. Kevin Durant was diagnosed on March 17th. Christian Wood on March 14th. Donovan Mitchell, of course, March 12th. And Rudy Gobert, of course, March 11th, which shut the season down. And so that's one of the interesting things about this NBA bubble to me. Now, we also understand coming into the bubble, in the beginning of the bubble, you're most likely going to have Rona cases. You're going to have Rona cases because you have people coming from all these different places who have been self-quarantining, which means there are no real restrictions on quarantine, which means I can still go places. I'm still subject to the spread of this Rona 19 from people who are not going to be going, who are not going to be in this bubble with me. So I do want people to get that in their mind, in my opinion, that going into the bubble, you're going to have some Rona 19 cases, right? Now, as we move closer to the start of the season, we should see less and less cases. We're going to see quarantining happen, but I'm interested to see how players who may test positive within the next coming weeks or who have already tested positive, who have to be quarantined for 14 days, how that will affect their integration back into the lineup or the scheme that the particular team is running moving forward when we are finishing this season. And I do understand, though, that the eight games that are being played are pretty much tune-up games. Yeah, they're the finished season games. For certain teams, they're important. But for the most part, most of the teams who are already in the playoffs, these are tune-up games to help them get their legs, per se, or get their chemistry as a team. So that is on the table. That is going to happen. The season is scheduled to start on July 30th, barring any further cancellations or anything that would change. I guess if you have a massive Rona outbreak in within the bubble, then that would delay the start of the NBA season. But other than that, nothing else should delay the start of the NBA season on July 30th. Now, once again, players are still testing positive for that Rona. So the latest, because this is, so the latest just a couple days ago with Eric Bledsoe and a couple cats just last week, you know. So Westbrook, the 13th, Harrison Barnes, 14th, James Ennis, 15th, Eric Bledsoe, the 16th. So just last week, you got players testing positive for that Rona. So it's real out here. Don't be the person out here thinking that Rona ain't real. But also, let's not be the people who are putting profit and commerce over people's health. As much as I love sports, hell, this is a fucking sports podcast, so you know I love sports, right? But I love human beings more than I love sports. I love health and safety and happiness more than I love sports, right? And I would rather see people or these athletes healthy and with their family and not us not having sports than us to risk health and things because of sport or because of a selfish need to see people out there running up and down these courts playing these sports. You hear me? So, though I'm excited for the return of basketball, I am leery that we may have more corona cases moving forward, and I'm interested to see how the corona is best handled, how it's best corralled within this bubble. From my understanding, all the teams are in the bubble and they're operating. So we're going to learn more. Of course, we're going to learn more and more as the days go by, as things happen, as we get closer to the 30th. We're going to learn more. We're going to see more. More practices are happening. But player safety should be the number one thing that's on our mind right now. Not selfish reasons to have a great goddamn season or whatever, or a great finish to the NBA season. That's whatever, but player safety should be at the top of our list. And shout out to the players who are not going into the bubble because of specific reasons that could lead back to health complications. The ones who did not allow peer pressure to make them change, make decisions that could jeopardize their family. So shout out to those players. Yeah. All right, so speaking of, did I pass it? Okay. All right, so take a little transition, talk a little football, and talk a little football, race, and racism, and power. So the Washington losers, formerly known as the Washington Racial Slurs, they basically announced last week, that they are officially changing their names, even though they did it on Washington Redskin letterhead. Yikes. So this is a tweet from the Washington Losers. It's a statement from the Washington Losers football team. This was immediately released June 13, 2020. On July 3rd, we announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. The review had begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community appraised of our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing that we will be retiring the Redskins name and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition, rich franchise, and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Go with the Washington Losers. I'm telling you, go with the Washington losers, because that will epitomize y'all's franchise history as a Cowboy fan. So the Washington NFL franchise released a statement on Monday, which I just read, confirming news that Yahoo reported over the weekend that they are officially changing the team's name. The league has asked teams to begin scrubbing Redskins from their platforms over the weekend in anticipation of the change that ultimately came on Monday. Last Monday, right? No new name has been announced yet as the team is trying to settle a trademark dispute. The move completes a swift about-face from Washington owner Dan Snyder, fuckboy, who previously vowed that the nickname would continue as it has since 1933, because he a bitch, when it was created by former owner George Preston Marshall. This despite the name coming under increased scrutiny in recent years as being racist and demeaning toward Native Americans. Those grievances have been longstanding, but gained significant momentum over the last month as the death of George Floyd sparked nationwide protests over racial inequity in the country, and black people are still being killed by the police, by the way. Justice for Breonna Taylor. The turning point appeared to come on July 2nd when it was revealed that a group of investment firms and multi-billion dollar corporations such as FedEx, Nike, PepsiCo, and others had joined together to ask the companies to cut their business ties with Washington unless the franchise changed its nickname. Collectively, the groups and investors seeking to pressure the name change held a net worth of over $620 billion soon after that letter pursuing the company. Pressuring the companies, FedEx released a statement that it had requested a name change, and Nike pulled all Washington merchandise from its online store. The organization followed those moves by announcing it would begin a review process with its name, drawing a statement of praise from NFL, essentially cementing the reality that Washington would be changing its name. And that's the bullshit about it, that Daniel Snyder is such a bitch, and Dan Snyder is such a alleged presumed racist. It wasn't that Native American groups said, hey, this is racist, change the name. Because when groups of Native Americans say, hey, this is racist, like, we don't like this shit, change the name, Dan Snyder was pretty much like, fuck y'all. I don't care what none of y'all say. We named it, old boy named it the Redskins. When he founded the team, we're going to call it Redskins. I don't think it's racist because these sellout Native Americans that I paid off said it ain't racist. So it ain't racist. So fuck y'all, and we're going to do what we're going to do. And if you don't like it, y'all can eat my ass. That's what Daniel Snyder said to Native American groups years ago. But now that corporation said, you know what? We want to make sure we don't look racist since George Floyd's death. So let's play both sides of the part. Let's play both sides. But you see that Washington, hey man, let's make them change their name, man. Let's at least make them change their name. We're gonna play that side. Let's at least make them change their name. So FedEx said, hey man, y'all change y'all name. Nike said, man, look, we're gonna pull our shit till y'all change y'all name. We ain't fucking with y'all like that. All the other companies, Pepsi, they say, hey, man, look, all right, we got $620 billion tied up in y'all organization. Are you trying to continue or not? Change the name. So Washington was like, oh, man, they fucking with the money, man. Dan Snyder puts that right. He's like, man, they fucking with my money, B. They fucking with my money, B. How I'm supposed to survive? How I'm supposed to live? How I'm supposed to live? That's fucking one more. All right, man. I changed the name. Since y'all gonna pull the money, I changed the name. And that's the bullshit. It wasn't just off of the fact that the name was racist. It was the fact that the money had to be affected, which is another stark reality that one way to combat racism is to affect the bottom line. You affect them dollars, you can make change. You got to understand the power in money, or the money in the power. Either way you go. But when people's bottom line is affected, they change real quick. They their tone and shit change real quick. If it's one thing these white folk love, they love money. See, now I disagree with a lot of people who say as the higher you go up, it's not about black and white, it's about green. I disagree with people who say that because the people who are the higher ups who got the green, they got the green through a means of black and white, which means that white America built this wealth off the backs of black slavery. So the wealthiest people in the world built their wealth of racism, of practicing racism. So I get what you're saying, that money moves these people. Right, money moves these people, but these people use racism to gain this money, to build this money. And because racism was used, slavery specifically was used, unpaid free labor was used, inhumane treatment was used to build their wealth. It's never going to be not about race. It's always about race. Race is at the foundation of everything that is American, because race was used to build America and America's wealth. Can't separate the two. Can't separate the wealth of America from racism and slavery. If you're trying to do that, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So the organizations followed those moves by announcing it would begin a new process with his name, drawing a statement of praise from the NFL. I read that. The change will add some sweeping moves around the franchise, including the removal of a memorial of Marshall outside of RFK Stadium. Marshall had previously been an ardent critic of desegregation in America, including many statements made after his founding and ownership of one of the NFL's cornerstone franchises over the last century. Snyder also accused acquiesced on removing Marshall from the team's materials and Ring of Honor, despite at the time refusing to change Washington's name. Fuck Daniel Snyder. Now he is on the verge of wiping the slate clean, which could also open some avenues to having a franchise move into the D.C. area, which has been favored by some politicians in the event of the new nickname. So we waiting to see what new official nickname that the Washington losers come up with. The Washington Fuckboys, Washington Mustard Pants, Washington Daniel Snyder, shut your dumb ass up. I mean, we can come up with some names. The Washington Last Place, the Washington Simps, the Washington Marks, the Washington Booty Holes, the Washington Dingling Holes, the Washington Dickheads, the Washington Toe Jams, the Washington Possums, the Washington Coons, the Washington Sellouts, the Washington Racist, the Washington colonizers. Oh yeah, the Washington colonizers. Washington hillbillies, Washington rednecks. How about that? Washington enslavers. You know? If we talking about changing names, George Washington was a stout racist, so can we erase George Washington's name too? But that's what's going on though over there with the Washington losers. And you know, as a Cowboy fan, I'm enjoying this shit, and as a black man, I'm enjoying this, but we know this is not a real victory. This is just a moral victory, so understand that. But also, we talk about race, man. So I just discovered a new YouTube channel, a new podcast YouTube channel. I Am Athlete. I think Brandon, the ex-NFL player Brandon Marshall, is the host. So I was watching it, and I like it. I really do like it. Shout out to Brandon Marshall. I like it. But what I will say is be careful about having conversations in public and on camera and live conversations. Don't engage in conversations and be passionate about conversations if you can't. If you don't have the information to back up what you're saying, you can't articulate it yourself. And what I'm saying is, one of the episodes, Jason Orlick, something like that, well, one of the athletes that Brandon Marshall had on the show, and they were having a conversation about Black Lives Matter organization and the movement and the overall impact on these latest protests. Because Brandon Marshall is calling what's going on now the second coming of the civil rights movement. I thoroughly disagree, because the civil rights movement didn't come in spurts. The civil rights movement was an actual movement. Like, this thing has died down already. And these things have happened in spurts and died down, two-week intervals and died down. Yes, this one lasted the longest, but they've always lasted in 2 to 4 week, maybe 6 week intervals, and then died down. Then we're just waiting on the next, right? But they were talking about, but Brandon Marshall started the show off talking about a conversation him and Jason had about the Black Lives Matter organization. And Jason asked legitimate questions about the Black Lives Matter organization. If you read their website, you go to their website, you read it, they have some troubling rhetoric on their website, some troubling language when they're talking about destroying the nuclear family. They don't mention black, straight black men on their site. They're talking about a lot of things that they're talking about implementing doesn't necessarily help the black community as a whole, but it seems to have an LGBTQ slant. Now, that's not me saying that I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I do know from what I've seen, it seems to have an LGBTQ slant that is an exclusive slant that negates the heterosexual experience. I say that. As a person who, I'm pro-black, so in being pro-black, I can't speak for nobody else, but in being pro-black, my pro-blackness says that if you black, I fuck with you. You could be from Papua New Guinea, you could be from Fiji, you could be from anywhere in Africa, you could be from the Caucasus. If you black, I fuck with you. If you black and you, because we are all black people throughout the world have a common enemy. I don't care what the fuck your sexual orientation is. I don't give a fuck how tall you is, skin tone. As long as you for black people and you understand we have a common enemy and white supremacy, we rock together. We ride for me, my pro-blackness is I'm riding for all black people. I'm not the black and brown type person. I'm the black people. Now, I fuck everybody, but I ride for black people. So I'm confused when black people say black lives. I'm confused when people say Black Lives Matter excludes the LGBTQ community when the actual Black Lives Matter organization was started by members of the LGBTQ community. But anyway, Brandon Marshall clearly never went to the Black Lives Matter website. He's never read up on the organization. He's never read anything. He's just going straight off the emotion. And I thought that was kind of troubling to see Brandon trying to have this conversation on the intellectual level with not having done his research. And he kept saying, he's asking this man, why? I want you to tell me why George Floyd was killed. How the hell can that man tell you why George Floyd was killed? And also, that's a question we all have. We want to know why any of us are killed, but that's not a question that anybody sitting in that panel can answer for you. And so it just reminded me of when we're emotional about things. A lot of times we'll be emotional about things. We have good intentions, but the actual follow-through and the actual plan of action is trash. Or there are no real plans of action. You're just speaking from an emotional place, and that emotional place can handicap you thoroughly. Because you're not really thinking about what's really happening. And I thought Jason did a great job of articulating his point. He was asking questions that the others can't answer. They couldn't answer his questions. It was one guy, I can't remember his name. I liked him. He was smart. He was on point. He could answer the question. He did answer the question. But the rest of the panel couldn't answer his questions. And everything went back to emotion. I understand the emotions behind everything that's going on. But you have to understand the realness and be able to intellectualize what's going on so we can create sound plans of actions to overcome white supremacy. And if we just continue to go off of emotion, we're going to spin in circles and not come up with no real plans of action. That's all I'm saying. Let's not get in public places and try to speak on things when we're not ready to speak on these things, and especially if we're not ready to turning these things into active plans of action. That's all I'm saying. So Free Woj, man. Free Woj. So ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski has been suspended by the company. Outkick's Ryan Glasspiegel reported Saturday night, citing resources. So the New York Post, Andrew Merchant, reported that the suspension is without pay, though the length of the discipline is not yet known. And this is a tweet by Merchant. Woz has been suspended without ESPN, the Post, without pay. That's what he meant, ESPN. By ESPN, the Post has learned. So the suspension comes 36 hours after Missouri Senator Josh Hawley posted a screenshot of a vulgar email Wojnarowski sent to him in response to a newsletter Hawley's office sent, in which he blasted the NBA for how it handled the China situation. A few hours later, Woj issued a statement and hasn't tweeted since. He said, "I was disrespectful and I made a regrettable mistake. I'm sorry for the way I handled myself, and I'm reaching out immediately to Senator Hawley to apologize directly. I also need to apologize to my ESPN colleagues because I know my actions were unacceptable and should not reflect on any of them." Woj's suspension comes just as the NBA's bubble in Orlando is starting to ramp up. He is arguably one of the NBA's biggest newsbreakers. So depending on how long the suspension is, fans could miss out on big breaking news. As you can imagine, NBA Twitter is not thrilled with the news that Woj will be suspended. So a Free Woj hashtag has started on the social media platform. Free Woj, man. Fuck that shit, man. Free Woj. Fuck that senator, man. Free Woj, man. If LeBron, somebody said, I am John W. I don't know who this person is, but he said, if LeBron tweets Free Woj from the bubble right now and Woj has his job back tomorrow morning, that should count as the fourth ring for LeBron, LAMO. Top Ball Coverage said, I won't believe this until Woj tweets this Free Woj. Free Woj, man, Free Woj. Warriors rookie Eric Pascal posted about Woj on his Instagram story, and a few other NBA players even tweeted in the bubble. Free Woj, man. Free Woj, man. But he gets suspended without pay for cussing somebody out. Man, fuck that senator. He'll be all right. Senator Josh Hawley, he'll be all right, man. Get out your feelings, man. Stop acting like a bitch. Get out your feelings, man. Hashtag Free Woj. Hashtag Free Woj. Hashtag Free Woj. Because Woj do be breaking the stories, but then, you know, whatever, man. Whatever. That ain't no serious thing. Hey, man, snitches get stitches who talk like bitches, you heard me? The NBA got a snitch hotline. Got my quotes up. A snitch hotline exposing people who not following coronavirus protocols within the bubble. And as we know, Dwight Howard has already been snitched on. So the NBA knows how important it is for everyone inside its bubble in Orlando to follow the rules as it prepares for resuming the 2019-2020 season. Anyone who breaks the rules could ignite an outbreak of coronavirus and could force a second shutdown of the season, right? The league is doing all it can to keep COVID-19 outside the bubble and has created an electronic anonymous hotline that people can call if they see violations of safety protocols. Some players are calling it the snitch line and aren't happy. Brooklyn Nets forward Spencer Dinwiddie implored players to avoid using the snitch line. Taylor Rooks, NBA reporter, journalist Taylor Rooks, she tweeted, asked Spencer Dinwiddie if he had a message for the guys that are in the bubble. I'm just going to leave this here. And this is a video of her with Spencer Dinwiddie. Shout out to Taylor Rooks, though. Shout out to Taylor Rooks. I definitely want to get her on the podcast and interview her. She does great work. Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert called the tip line petty, and he expects people inside the bubble to follow the rules. I don't know if someone's going to use it, but I think it's sort of petty. But we already know somebody already used it, Dwight Howard. At the same time, you want to make sure that people respect the rules, Gobert told reports on Wednesday. But I don't think the line will really help at this point. I think it's more about respecting each other and all do as a small community. Everyone is pretty much educated about the virus at this point, and it's more about respect. Knowing what's at stake, the league expects everyone inside the bubble to adhere to the rules and protocols. However, league officials aren't banking on everyone willingly following the rules, and the tip line is already paying dividends, according to the report. So Sam Serena tweeted that some players have received warnings from violation sources said as league ensures social distancing and mask protocols on campus. He also tweeted multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus, sources tell. So the Lakers Center, like I said, the White House claimed someone snitched on him being outside without wearing a mask. However, based on numerous posted videos showing Howard sans mask while outdoors inside the bubble, perhaps he turned himself in. I don't know. The number of players who are against the tip line is probably small. Everyone associated with the league wants to make sure the players stay healthy and finish the season. I mean, I understand the tip line. I ain't mad at the tip line. It's funny. The snitch line, it's funny to me. I ain't mad at it, though, because you want to make sure that you keep people safe. You want to make sure that you can finish the season. You can't have people out there doing dumb shit. We know that there's going to be somebody who violates. Somebody going to do some dumb shit. Somebody going to do something they ain't supposed to do. Somebody going to do it. We know that. That's why the tip line exists. Why? Because we can't trust people. Somebody might sneak out. Somebody might try to sneak somebody in. Somebody might be in there doing some dumb shit. And we already know that that's going to happen. You got people between the ages of 18, 19, and 35 out there. Something going to happen. Young people are going to be young people, and old fools going to be old fools. I'm not mad at the NBA snitch line. The snitch line is funny to me, but I do understand why it exists. It needs to exist. Come on, man. We know. I'm in the state of Florida where people protested wearing masks the day before Florida broke the national record. Or they broke whatever the world record, I guess the world record for the most reported coronavirus cases in one state in a day, with over 15,000 cases. So, as a Floridian, that just means anything is possible to me. And the bubble is in Florida, in Orlando. So that just means anything is possible to me. You know, the sky's the limit. And you know that you keep calm, just keep on keeping on. So, I'm not mad at the snitch line. I just want people to be safe, finish the season, and get back to your family. So it is what it is. But free Woj. All right, my pre-rant ran. A little warm-up, a little zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. So over there in England, right, a 12-year-old has been arrested for sending a racist message to Crystal Palace's Wilfried Zaha. Little motherfucker needed his ass whooped. Gonna send some racial messages. Let me comb my Corona beard. I'm growing my Corona beard back up. I want another Corona beard, so I decided. I chopped my Corona beard down. I decided I want me another Corona beard, so I'm growing my Corona beard back up. Let me comb it real quick. All right. So, a 12-year-old boy from the town of Solihull, England, has been arrested. He needs his last whoop for allegedly sending racist messages, and his parents need their ass whooped to Crystal Palace's forward Wilfried Zaha on Instagram. Oh, cause, and whoop his ass in public. You want to show out in public? Whoop his ass in public, right? Hours before Crystal Palace was scheduled to face Aston Villa in the Premier League on Sunday, Zaha tweeted a sampling of racist messages he recently received. Included in the messages were an image of a man in blackface and an image of a white hooded Ku Klux Klan. It's not known if any of those messages are from the boy who was arrested. Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson gave Zaha his full throated support before the game. It's very saddening that on the day of a game that a player wakes up to this cowardly and despicable abuse, Hodgson said via Sky Sports. I think it's right that Wilf made people aware of it. I don't think this is something he should keep quiet about. There's literally no excuse. There's no excuse at all. Right, man. Hey, blast the motherfucker. Don't be blast the motherfucker. You wanna be racist? We're gonna put you on blast, Jared. So the Premier League quote tweeted Zaha's tweet and issued this statement. This behavior is completely unacceptable, and the Premier League stands alongside with Zaha in opposing this and discrimination in any form. There is hashtag no room for racism anywhere. We will continue to support players, managers, coaches, and their family members who receive serious discriminatory online abuse. The boy was arrested by police officers from the county of West Midland Police Department issued a statement about the arrest on Twitter, and this is the tweet. We were alerted to a series of racist messages sent to a footballer today, and after looking into them and conducting checks, we have arrested the boy. 12-year-old is from Solihull, has been taken into custody. Thanks to everyone who raised it. Racism will not be tolerated, and fuck that little boy. Barely 2 weeks ago, I don't care about that, but yeah, man, fuck that little boy, man. I don't care that he's a 12-year-old, fuck that little boy, right? Because somebody taught him that, and fuck the people who taught him that. But what he has to understand is there's no room for racism. We fighting back. Black people been fighting back, but the resurgence of fighting back is here, man. We ain't no room for racism. No room for it. And you lad, you think you grown. You want to be grown. You want to go out there, and you want to act like you grown, and you want to do some grown people shit. Now you got your ass some little grown people consequences for it. I done went all off camera. But you got your ass some grown consequences for your little racist tweet, thinking you hard, trying to be tough. And that's when being internet gangster goes wrong. When being internet racist goes wrong. You little dumbass to learn the little lesson. Hopefully your next 12 years be better in life. Hopefully they get you some new training. They get you some training so your lads can learn that racism ain't going to be tolerated. And it could get your last whoop, too. Could get your last whoop. You're lucky you only got arrested, little boy. I'm not suggesting violence needs to happen to you. And I'm not suggesting that violence should have happened to you. And I'm not suggesting violence for me. But what I am saying is you're a dumb motherfucker. And not necessarily an ass whooping as far as somebody need to come fight you. But I'm just saying you need a good parental ass whooping. But, and me, just being me, me knowing what I know, his parents probably who he learned it from, right? Probably, it's most likely something that he hears in his household on the regular. He's mimicking what will go on in the household, what the elders, what the adults would do in his house. So, hell, if mom and dad is racist, little Timmy might as well be racist too. I don't know, Timmy, the little white boy in America. What's a good England white boy name? I don't know. He's going to be Timmy, too. Damn it. He's going to be Timmy, too. Little Timmy going around trying to practice the racism that he's witnessed, and it backfired on him. And I'm glad it backfired on him. I don't give a damn how old he is. I'm glad it backfired on him. Hey, you want to step into this arena? Here you go. Get these consequences. Get these adult consequences with your little dumb ass. I don't give a shit how old he is. I don't feel no sympathy for him. Hey, man. Hey, they look at our kids as adults, looking at him as an adult. You did some adult shit, you need adult consequences. You heard me? Yeah, I shouldn't have done it. Maybe you think twice before you do some dumb shit in the future. Maybe you think twice before you do some racist shit. Maybe once again, they train you. You go get some training and learn not to be fucking racist. And I remember having conversations with black people who would try to argue that racism doesn't exist outside of America. But I'm like, motherfucker, racism existed before America. Where do you think it come from? Well, ain't no racism in Europe. Bitch? How? America ain't the goddamn birthplace of racism. Racism came to America from Europe. Hey, you talking about? Slave ships didn't come from America. They came from Europe. Originally. All right, man. So that's what, you know it is. But, hey, man, fuck this little boy. I know a lot of y'all might not like me saying that, but I don't give a shit. Fuck the little boy. But I hope he learns some new lessons. I hope he get better, and I hope he grow and become a better man about it. But at this moment, fuck that shit you did. Fuck you and fuck that shit you did, little boy. You hear me? And I'm glad Zaha put him out. Good. Keep doing it. You want to be racist, we're going to put you on blast. You want to be racist, we're going to put your ass on blast. You heard me? It's time! time for my weekly rant. And it's aimed at that weak-ass Washington loser franchise. I'm back on your ass, Dan Snyder. I'm back on you. I'm back talking shit about you, Dan Snyder. Fuck you, Dan Snyder, with you. So this time, 15 women have alleged a culture of sexual harassment and sexual abuse within the Washington NFL team and within their franchise. So 15 women levied accusations of a culture of sexual harassment and misconduct that reached upper management with Washington's NFL team under Daniel Snyder's ownership in a report published by the Washington Post on Thursday. And Daniel Snyder trying to act like he don't know nothing about it. Daniel Snyder is literally acting like he don't know nothing about what's going on when he was there the whole time. You've been the owner the whole time. The only person who ain't guilty in this is Ron Rivera, because Ron Rivera just got there. But everybody else, y'all guilty. Or y'all a suspect, I'd say. Y'all are suspects. Y'all are suspected in helping an alleged culture of sexual violence persist within your loser-ass organization with them ugly-ass pants that y'all be wearing. Right? So Snyder is not accused of harassment. He is accused of fostering a hostile work environment. The allegations span from 2006 to 2019. Snyder purchased the team in 1999. So, you know, this is his culture. This is his culture. He declined multiple requests for comment, according to the Post. I have never been in a more hostile, manipulative, passive-aggressive environment, and I worked in politics. Former Vice President of Communications Julia Payne told the Post. Payne worked for the team in 2003. She was an assistant press secretary for President Bill Clinton. So, you know, she like, man, shit, I don't work for Billy C., and it wasn't worse than working with the goddamn Washington losers. Emily Applegate, a 31-year-old former marketing coordinator, went on the record to detail her accusations, calling working for the team the most miserable experience of my life. The other 14 women spoke on the Post anonymously, citing fear of legal retributions after some of them signed non-disclosure agreements. They probably were forced them to sign an NDA. Among the high-level team employees named in the report were play-by-play man Senior Vice President and Chief Content Officer Larry Michael, Director of Pro Personnel Alex Santos, and his top scouting assistant Richard Mann II, all of whom left the team in July. I wonder why they left the team. Michael, who had called games on the team's radio broadcast for 16 years, resigned Wednesday. Santos and Mann were fired last week because they are probably guilty. I don't have the proof to prove it. But hell, if I ain't do nothing, I ain't resigning. If I know I ain't do nothing, I ain't resigning. So that seems to be a presumed admission of guilt. An alleged presumed admission of guilt by these boys. So you got these weak franchise who ain't winning, and the men in the franchise who fostering this culture of losing is also fostering the culture of sexual violence and harassment. Now y'all need to be ran over by school buses. See, those dudes, if those dudes caught the corona, nobody would be mad. I'm just saying. If those dudes caught the coronas, nobody would be mad. If those dudes got, like, STDs that mutilated their genitals and their genitals were eaten all, like, bacterial-infected STDs and they ate their genitals and it ate their brain up and affected them greatly neurologically, nobody would be mad. Because these men like that, allegedly, but if they did it, men like that are a waste of fucking air, space, and biological material. They're a waste of matter. They're a waste of time. They're a waste of breath, air, all that stuff. You're a waste. You should have been swallowed as sperm. Right? If this is true. If this is true, but it's It's hard to believe that it's not true. I'm going to be honest. I'm not saying that it is true, but it's hard to believe that it's not true. I talk about sexual violence on this podcast within the NFL too much. Too much. This is just the latest installment, but this is like programmatic within the whole weak-ass franchise of Washington. Daniel Snyder, man, you need to sell that team. It's time for the NFL to kick Daniel Snyder out. First you're harboring and fostering racism, bigotry, with your steadfastness in maintaining the name of the racist name of the Redskin. You dug your heels in on that. Until motherfuckers pull their money and said, if you don't change the name, we're going to take your money. And then you got a culture of sexual violence going on at the same time. And y'all losing. It's time for you to go, Daniel Snyder. I don't really call for people jobs, but it's time for you to go. The cultures you've created, man, unhealthy. The cultures you've created, not good. You got to go. You got to take your ass on down the road, Daniel. I'm interested to see if any of the other owners or the NFL get together to try to push Snyder out. Just right now? Right now, Danny? You looking like a whole ho-eye chip. Daniel Snyder, you looking like a whole ho-eye chip. And yeah, there is no evidence or any allegations whatsoever of Daniel Snyder being a part of any sexual harassment. But the culture has been created under your watch of a culture of sexual harassment and a culture of sexual violence. And that there is conduct detrimental to the motherfucking team. And if you was a player, your ass would be gone. If you was anybody else, your ass would be gone. So guess what, Dinah? Daniel Snyder, it's time to follow suit and your ass needs to go. Time for Daniel to go, man. Time for Daniel Snyder to pack his bags and get his coach ass on up out of the NFL as they changed the name of the franchise to the Washington Losers, who were led by a loser. Daniel Snyder, you built like a bitch, and you a loser. And there's nothing good about you. There's nothing good about you, Daniel Snyder. You've let down a lot of people. You are a horrible leader. And we can see your leadership style is trash because it led to cultures, unhealthy cultures of racism and sexual violence. Daniel Snyder, you are the epitome of a trash-ass leader. And your team trash with the mustard-ass pants. Change the colors. I hope they change some colors, too. Them ugly-ass, throw-up-ass, booty-hole colors that they got for that Washington franchise that's been a loser-ass franchise, especially under Daniel Ho-Ho-Achia Snyder. You ought to be ashamed. These are not examples of manhood, of real manhood, of good manhood, of people that we want our sons to grow up and be like. Daniel Snyder, nope, you are on the list of being a part of the International Fuck Boys Association. You are a part of the International Football Association, Dan Snyder. Yes, you are fostering cultures of sexual violence and racism. So, two birds being shot to you, Dan Snyder, and a foot in your ass. And how about do the world a favor, pull your bottom lip over your head and swallow. Hey, man, this is another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm your homeboy, your host, Joseph Ward, right here. Remember, you can support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. Remember, check us out on YouTube. If you are listening to this audio and you want to see the video, become a patron. You got to become a patron to check out the full video, patreon.com/thefix. But you will get snippets of the video clips of the video on YouTube. So check out our Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. Make sure you visit our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. The Fix Sports Podcast is on our website, and it's on all major podcast outlets, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Public, Spotify, you name it, we on there, man. We getting it down, we getting it in, we being real, and we keeping this black media going and flowing, man. Two fingers in the air like a player, that y'all know I'm out of here, another episode in the books, yeah, man. Black power, justice for Breonna Taylor. Yes, sir.
I am the greatest.
I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like